I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Holy cow.
Dun, 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 dun.
In the air, Danielle.
I'm so excited.
Do you know why the hair on my arms is standing up right now?
Because we get to decorate for fall tomorrow.
No. Unless you consider decorating for fall, setting out full body decoys, brushing yourself into the blind, and hoping and praying that a few of the 120 or so geese that are around the state fly over your field and you can somehow talk them into landing in your face. Mm-hmm. That, no, that is not my idea.
That's not it.
Are you going to be decorating for fall?
Oh, I already have been decorating. I do what I want. It's shocking.
Tomorrow.
Shocking.
Is the opening of the Canada goose season here in Wisconsin.
And teal and dove.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And dove and teal. Now, here's the thing. Teal and dove are so difficult to hit with a shotgun that I never consider it even part of the season because I'm just out there. Everybody says, why do you hunt geese? And I say, because they're as wide as a Volkswagen when
this
you
is very
at.
True.
And they're much easier to hit than
and it's
teal.
More exciting to
those
hear them.
Those teal, man, they're like bats. They fly so fast.
They do, but it's so challenging, which makes it even more appreciative because once you actually do hit it, granted, if you have a teal breast and a goose breast next to each other, you're like, oh, well, this is
yeah,
sad.
That's true,
but
too.
But it's more rewarding when you actually hit one.
A teal breast is just, and just to give you some insight, a mourning dove breast is about the size of a silver dollar. A teal breast is very slightly smaller than that, and then a goose
it's
breast
like the palm,
is like
the size of your palm is a
yeah,
teal.
Yeah.
A nice girl palm.
You can say that. I can't. But the difference is a teal breast right from the bird, that's one of the tastiest ducks out there, and you can just fry that up with a little onions and butter in a pan, and it's good to go. With a goose breast, I don't do that very often because very few people actually like the taste of goose unless you're throwing it in a crock pot or the Instant Pot or smoking it on the Traeger for long enough. That hey, we had the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo this last weekend.
We did. I was going to say, unless they prepare it like your pot pie you showed, and every single person in the room, including the people that were standing, because all the seats were filled, we're talking about you pot pie.
You know, I'm not going to lie. It is so good. I'm just going to run through this real quick. You put the pot pie, you put the goose breasts in the Instant Pot or in a crock pot, really. Fill it with water. You add seasonings to it. You can add provider seasonings, your own seasonings. You add oil to that. That's the key. Adding oil to it is the key because then you let it go in the crock pot 10 hours or the Instant Pot for 3.5 hours, shred that meat apart, and it will absorb the stock in there. It will absorb the juice that's in there into the meat. And that oil you put in there gives it kind of a little bit of a slippery kind of texture like pulled pork, which I absolutely love. So
yes.
You guess where I'm going right after this?
Oh, you're going to a field to get ready.
This is what it has become in the state of Wisconsin, camping out in farm fields overnight to try to make sure that you end up with the field on the day of opening. Now, I remember just not even that long ago, 12 years ago, when I started goose hunting, you'd show up, you know, an hour before sunlight and set up your decoys, get your hide going.
Yep.
And then the competition. And so there's good and bad about it. I'd like to be frustrated by it. But the fact that younger people are getting into waterfowl hunting in Wisconsin and it's such a growing sport is fantastic. So if it means that it becomes an event where you start staying the night before in the field, I mean, we've got grills
it's
coming
like
out.
It's like Black Friday.
Right. It is. And Black Friday used to be actually about Friday. Now people are lining up on Wednesday for Black Friday. And I think that's kind of what hunting has become. And instead of getting frustrated by it, I think people end up, you know, having fun with it. We're actually going to have a grill out in the field.
Nice. You're glamping.
The guys I hunt with are substantially younger than me, which doesn't take a lot anymore since I'm 52. But we're going to be out there. And they don't know this, but they're going to know this after this. I think I might get a little hotel room nearby to grab a couple hours of actual sleep. Because this whole body cannot do it like it used to. But then I'm going to guarantee you some of those guys will be over knocking on the door to grab the spare bed for a couple hours of sleep, too. So if you're heading out tomorrow morning, good luck. Be safe.
Good luck.
Remember to be safe. I've, you know, the hatch numbers are all right. There's a ton of mourning doves along. Just remember all the rules. Remember to get your duck stamp. So many people forget to do that. You need the federal duck stamp with you on your person, or you need to have ordered it and be able to show a receipt for that. Make sure you have your early goose season permits. Make sure you don't have lead if you're in the field hunting geese. Now, if you're only hunting mourning doves and you're not near a waterway, you can actually use lead. You can use the little cheap lead shells, number sevens, number eights. So I think I'm going to try to hunt geese in the morning, and then I think I'm going to try to hunt mourning doves in the afternoon.
That'd be nice.
You know, usually I wait. How are we doing? All right, Anastasia, by the way, our very able producer, is going to be spending the weekend in the woods.
I will be. Yes.
What kind? Now, are you going hunting, camping,
just camping?
You're going to be out there in a sideways banana or what?
I'm not sure what a sideways banana is.
That's a kayak.
I might feel like a sideways banana. Some friends and I.
Well, it depends how many cocktails you have around.
That's right.
How many bananas?
Yeah. Yep. Real tent camping. I have never gone tent camping.
Never?
No.
Oh my gosh.
No.
Deja. Absolutely love it.
You're gonna love it or really truly hate it. It's like, yeah. I feel like there's no in between.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I want to keep hearing about it. So this is your first time tent camping.
It will be, yes. So I have some good friends. Shout out to my good friends Matt and Alana, who invited me and my partner out to this. It's going to be a group of like 20 of us, 20-somethings in the woods.
Dang.
We got a big family plot. Each little group is going to bring out a tent. And shout out to my dad. He borrowed me some of his camping gear. I have a 7-foot by 7-foot tent that I'm going to squeeze into for the couple of hours I do sleep. And we're going to have a great big bonfire. And I'm going to get eaten up by bugs. I'm really excited.
It's thrilling.
So I'm going to, have you ever heard of a pudgy pie?
Yeah. Oh, I did go to camp as a kid, but it was not tent camping. I was a cabin camper.
Well,
yes.
If you get a chance to make pudgy pies out there, that is the greatest. And I'm so excited because I found keto-friendly bread.
Ooh.
I found bread that has zero net carbs so I can make pudgy pies again.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
And eat them. And they are the greatest. So you take two of these little cast iron skillets and you put two slices of bread in between it, and you can put any filling you want. I try to make them like panzerottas.
Okay. Of course you do.
Of course I do.
Of course.
So I put butter on the outside, and then we fill them. And this is something we did when we were camping, when we were kids. My mom and dad took us camping, and we made pudgy pies, and we would put pizza filling inside of them, and they were absolutely awesome. So if you get a chance to do that,
pocket.
For sure, it's kind of like, it's like an actual, it's way better than a hot pocket.
Oh, way better.
But you can put marshmallows and chocolate in there.
I've always failed at the pudgy pies. They never.
How do you feel at a pudgy pie?
Because when you take it apart, it just sticks all together, and
you have to butter the outside of the bread.
Absolute mess,
Danielle, you have to butter the outside of the bread.
Our guest is laughing at me.
It's supposed to be a secret that we have a guest until the second section. But I was actually going to introduce him earlier.
Oh, of course. Okay, but I'm a s'mores. S'mores all the way.
Yeah, but s'mores are awesome
with Reese's instead of Hershey's chocolate.
With Reese's instead.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't mind. That's pretty good because then you're adding that element of peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
quite
two
delicious.
Great tastes that taste great together.
Oh, well,
you probably are
so
too
many
young
greats.
You probably don't even
They're
remember
great.
Those commercials, do you?
Nope, not a clue.
It was like people. More like people would be walking down a hallway. One would have a chocolate bar. One would have a jar of peanut butter. And I never really got it because it was like insinuating that someone was eating chocolate and the other person was like eating a jar of peanut butter as
people
they walked.
People do that.
I suppose, but like not in an office setting, which is what the commercials were.
Oh.
And then they would run into each other.
Ooh.
And then the chocolate would go flying and land in the peanut butter. And they'd say, "You got your chocolate in my peanut butter. You got your peanut butter on my chocolate." And then they would eat it and have this revelation about how amazing it was. And that was the original Reese's Peanut Butter Cups ads.
Sounds
thrilling.
And
it was two great tastes that taste great together.
Oh. Hmm. Are you reminiscing
well, we
right now?
We should probably move on from that. That was like Mandela effect. Like, dark side of TikTok stuff right there. Colt Christofferson is with us today. And I've known Colt for quite a while. And you want to talk about a bro who's been like in so many different aspects of hunting. And we're gonna kind of tease to what we're gonna get to, Colt, because you are, first of all, welcome to the show.
Yes,
it's
welcome.
Awesome.
Hello.
To have you here.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, you're like one of those people who has had like hunting in their blood ever since they started in their professional career. And how did you, and I'm just going to, Colt is part of a company right now that is literally going to revolutionize the hunting industry.
Ooh.
And
Romeo Bravo.
Yeah, Romeo Bravo is the company. And we're going to explain to you after we come back from the break how they're going to revolutionize the hunting industry. But first, I want to talk to Colt about how he got into hunting and why those people like Danielle and me, those of us who live in the outdoor industry, try to make a living in the outdoor industry, we're crazy. All right, we're out of our minds to begin with, because it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to make a living in the outdoor industry. And I would say probably 90% of the people in it have other jobs, other careers, and other things. But it's that draw and love for the sport of hunting and the food. For me, honestly, the food brings
absolutely
us back to it. I had, I made zero carb wild goose enchiladas today.
Ooh.
And oh my gosh, they were just absolutely to die for. It was fantastic. But I get off track by food so much. I'm like a dog when a squirrel walks by with food. I can't.
I got a venison roast in the Instapot right now waiting for me at home.
Perfect.
Man, oh,
see?
Man.
Yeah,
oh, man.
The Instapot is magical.
Oh. I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Well, you almost. I don't know what to say about that, Danielle.
Did you hunt it?
I harvested everything myself.
You harvested the peanuts?
Yeah. And then,
I did not do any of
that.
I don't believe you at all.
I went to the grocery store.
Do you even know how peanuts grow? Do you know? This is very strange. Do you know how peanuts grow? Most people don't
know. Yeah,
they
grow in the ground.
Underground. Like they're on the root of a plant.
Yeah.
That's why technically peanuts are legumes.
Legumes.
Delicious legumes.
Legumes, yeah. Legumes are beans.
Right.
And peanuts grow underground.
I found a new favorite peanut butter. It's granola butter.
Well, that's not real. That's just,
I know,
that's
why, okay, quotes if you're watching.
Peanut butter. That's like that. My kids like that cookie crumbled cookie butter
or
whatever.
Yeah.
That's just basically mushed up cookies. But
deliciousness.
I mean, how is that not delicious, right? All right, we'll be right back. Got raised in Wisco. To a burning ring of fire, I went down, down. Sitting aside, Danielle Fairman. Danielle, you were going to bring us back.
I was going to bring us back. I said, how long do we have? And nobody was responding. I'm trying to hook us up with our live feed on WAUK Facebook.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I was trying to get all of our beautiful faces in there, but...
Have I mentioned tomorrow's the opening of the goose season?
No, you have not. Thank you, Anastasia. I was trying to do it.
About people, and you know what? I'm pretty excited because Brett Backus is a friend of mine, and he's literally sitting out in a field somewhere right now.
It's fantastic.
I know, and we're gonna play. I think we should play Islands in the Stream, because that is what goose hunters are. They're islands in the stream, sitting out in fields the day before.
Wait, is it the whole Islands in the Stream? That is what you are.
Yes.
Come away with me.
Yep. That's
okay.
That's kind of it. I'm not sure what that was, but that's the song.
That was me being amazing.
That's you being Danielle.
Luckily for me, I have my field, and it's 15 minutes from my house, and
Bill
and
awesome.
I, that's it.
Need and you're going to try it tomorrow after work?
After work, yep. Super excited. What was that?
Need a shooter?
Yeah,
I mean, I have not had the privilege of hunting with more than like 4 or 5 people. And I don't know if I could do a big group.
You know, there's pros and cons to it. I love a big group of people because I like to cook for them all. I'm bringing wild goose burritos to the field tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a lot of tooting.
Yeah. Well, it'll be after the hunt, Danielle. Well, after the hunt. We'll blow on our honker calls during the hunt. But I love that part of it, and I do like the big crowd, but as with anything, if you put 10 people, you got to be real cognizant of gun safety, mm-hmm. and then it can get a little chaotic. My preference is to hunt with like 4-5 people tops. Yep. That's my best. I love that. Really good friends. That way, if you shoot nothing, you still leave with a side ache because you're laughing from, or your stomach's hurting from laughing instead of getting up in the layout blind, because my abs will be sore. Now, granted, I don't have a six-pack, but I got a keg.
Same. The best part Same. About goose hunting is just being able to be out there with your friends, talk, yep. laugh, have a good time.
Oh, it's
maybe
the best.
Shoot some geese. And
it's why waterfowl hunting is so great, yeah. because you don't have to sit silently with your buddies.
Exactly.
Colt Christofferson is our guest today, and he is on the cutting edge of technology when it comes to hunting. And we're going to get to that. I want him to explain that. But first off, how did you get into the hunting industry? And you were the general manager of a local game farm here in Waukesha that, if anybody hunts pheasants or chuckers in the area, they know it, Warren Valley. Mm-hmm. How did you get into that, and then how did that transition into this?
Yeah, man, it's in my blood. My first job ever was out at McMiller Sports Center out in Eagle, Wisconsin, the shooting range out there.
First job ever.
I used to pull clays out there before there were electronic clay shooters. I was the kid out there behind a wooden board pulling clays and hearing the BBs bounce off my back. State standards are a little bit different now.
Yes.
But I was out there for several years when I was a kid, and it's just progressed from there. I went to school at Stevens Point and got a degree in fisheries management. I worked for the Wisconsin DNR doing fisheries resources for several years. I met my wife. We moved to the Keys. I was a fishing charter guide down
what?
Key West.
What brought you to the Keys?
Opportunity and life. Oh. Why not? You know?
Why not? Exactly.
We were in a position where we could, and we wanted to explore and live, and I had
Good
a friend
for you
down
guys.
There, and he got me hooked up with the right people, and I got to know a guy named Rush Maltz. He's got a TV show called Local Knowledge on the Discovery Channel.
Oh, yeah.
And I fished with him. He taught me everything I know.
How did you get in? So then you end up at Warren Valley kind of running the joint, essentially. You know, you and I had dealings there with you had legislative shoots. You've had governors out there.
Yeah, big fundraisers.
The governor of North Dakota was there while you were there.
Yeah.
Kristi Noem. I mean, it's been one of the epicenters in Wisconsin for not only political activity, but activity for hunters and a real place that celebrates.
Right.
And I think you're a part of that, celebrating the culture of hunting in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I love to share it with people, and I love how it can bring people together. I got involved with Warren Valley. When we got back from the Keys, I reached out to Steve and said, hey, I got some ideas for this place. I think I can do good things for you.
Yes.
And Steve Williams is the owner. And Steve said, let's make it happen. And I ran with it and did that for many years.
And now you work for Romeo Bravo.
Yeah.
Is Romeo Bravo?
Well, listen to this idea that he came up with.
Okay. Holding.
So Romeo Bravo Software is a software company that is we're focused on making software specifically for the outdoor and hunting and fishing industry. I didn't exactly come up with the idea. I had the idea. So prior to my involvement with Romeo Bravo Software, I had this idea from all of my experiences prior, and especially with Warren Valley, that we should be incorporating technology into this scenario. There's, you know, all my experience at Warren Valley told me that I can make this easier. I can make this more fluid.
And that's what we are now. We're a technology world.
Yes,
we need.
And I've always noticed, have you noticed this, Danielle and Colt, that so very often hunting industry lags way behind other industries when it comes to applying
it
technology
does.
To be better, to have more fun, to have better ways to take game from the field to the table, to book hunts, to, and this is
kind of, I have so many questions. We have 1 minute with this.
I know. We're going to come back, and Brett's going to be here. Brett Backus, who's hiding out somewhere trying to guard the geese for tomorrow. He's going to be on the line with us, and we're going to talk more with Colt in that later in the section and the following section. But Romeo Bravo, if I've got this right, is essentially some software that helps you find where you want to hunt, how to hunt it, and the best possible way to do that. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Super excited about coming back from the break.
Tell them I'm holding my own. Until I
what are we listening to?
You guys asked for Young Goosey.
Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. Colt Christofferson's in the studio with us today. And I did. I asked Anastasia to come up something with that was Goosey.
I was not prepared for that.
That was Goosey Goosey Gander by Kitty. Okay.
Oh, my Lanta.
Goosey, what's good for the Goosey is good for the Gander.
I'm going to be singing that. Awesome. Here, Goosey, Goosey, pew.
That was absolutely awesome. And you know what else is awesome? We got Brett Backus. Now, I've known Brett for a while. He is one of these dudes who is serious about his waterfowl hunting, as am I, as yes. are you, Danielle. And to be, you know, there are levels, there are layers of waterfowl hunters. There, the casual waterfowl hunter gets out. You know, the average person in the state of Wisconsin kills 1.5.
Oh, I thought it was two.
2.5 items of waterfowl per year. And those of us who get out there and kill dozens, if not hundreds, of items of waterfowl and eat them all year long are in a separate category.
Yes.
Most people call that category crazy. Brett Backus is on the line. What is up, Brett?
Hello, Brett.
Not much. Glad to be here. That was a mind-blowing song right there.
So. You're going to be singing that to sleep tonight.
Oh, come on. Brett's not going to be sleeping tonight. That I can tell you. So what have you got going on? What are you up to right now? And what's the reason I had you call in, Brett?
I was just pretty much sitting out here at the field that you'll be joining me in the morning, watching all the birds fly. Pretty late today. I think that they had a late feed in the morning, so they're reciprocating by doing the same thing in the evening. We got about 600 to 700 birds in the general area within a half mile of us, and continuing to watch them fly over and into the field still.
That sounds so beautiful and perfect.
Tell you that the hair on my arms is standing up right now after hearing that report. And, you know, we were talking about it before you called in, before the break. This is what has happened. I mean, even a mere 10 years ago, Brett, it was like you showed up at the field an hour before, you set up your decoys, and you hunted. And now what has happened is the competition for the good fields, for the X, for waterfowl hunting, because of some of the social media, the TV shows, even shows like The Fowl Life, so many more people are intent on hunting that X. And the competition has grown that it's literally about being at that field the day or the night beforehand. You think, is this good for the sport? Is it bad for the sport? Or is it just something we're going to have to deal with?
I mean, I find it's good that there's people passionate in the industry. It's more money into waterfowl conservation at the end of the day. I mean, I like having a competition. It's just like any other sporting activity. It just seems like lately there's a lot of shiciness going on.
Shiciness.
Anastasia, that's not on the banned list, is it? We can say shiciness, can't we?
Let's be careful.
Yeah. I've been on this 3 or 4 fields for the last week and a half, and the last 3 days, I've probably had 12 to 15 people stop and ask me what I was doing at the edge of the field because the obvious level wasn't strong enough, apparently. And
so what do you do when they come walking up? Are you like timid by it, or I don't know you, so I don't know if you're like a 5 foot dude or a 6 foot dude.
He's like a 7 foot dude.
Oh, or seven. No, or something.
Yeah, 6'11", Brett.
6'11", not very timid.
I wouldn't be either. I tell people I don't have a weight problem, I have a height problem. If I was 6'11", I'm so jealous of Brett. He's literally 6'11", but he is one of the kindest people you'll ever meet.
I was probably
meet,
a gentle
so.
Giant.
Yes, for
Sorry,
sure.
Sorry, I don't know you. I'm calling you that already.
Anyway, whatever works. It's pretty truthful. But, yeah, I mean, this is definitely the first year I've had people literally ask if I have permission for a property and then go straight to the farmer right after I told them yes.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I had the landowner ask me why there's so many people asking him all of a sudden because he was completely baffled with it. Mm. So, I mean, yeah, I think the waterfall industry is definitely growing. I think that there are shows like Duck Dynasty and other aspects that made it the popular thing to do now, which is both good and bad. I think people's attention sometimes with it is wrong. I mean, more and more I keep hearing about younger kids shooting birds, duck or geese, and dumping them in a ditch somewhere, and
ooh,
then it's the talk of the town for that area. So,
yeah, I can't handle that.
What a waste of a good natural resource.
Yep.
I think that having, you know, mentors show these young hunters the right way to do things and, you know, kind of holding their hand a little bit and guiding them, you know, is really, really important for the industry and a growing industry.
Oh, no doubt about it. And Brett, you're 29 now, and while you are still a very young man, that's actually kind of in the mid-range of the waterfowl hunting age that's out there pounding it the hardest. And I'll be honest, everything Brett said is absolutely dead correct. It's a matter of being courteous. It's a matter of considering who did get there first, who worked the hardest. Because I'm going to tell you what kills geese or puts geese in the bag and waterfowl in the bag is the amount of work you do ahead of time. The day you show up to hunt them, to shoot them, that's not the hunting part. The hunting part is the scouting, the being courteous and kind to farmers, developing those relationships, bringing them gifts, small tokens of appreciation. And I know that's something important to you, but you take it to a whole new level. You literally have spreadsheets of where these geese pattern and their flyway and everything like that. And there's something very satisfying as a waterfowl hunter when you do put that bird in the bag, when you hunt and you kill those geese on that day, because you know all the work that's gone into it ahead of time. And Brett, there are very few throughout the state who put as much work into it ahead of time as you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like the gentleman said before the break, instead of doing it the paper and pen way, I just kind of made it a little more electric and able to copy and paste and send off to people if need be for certain areas and kind of Google Maps and Onyx it off. I mean, it's just taking additional resources and using them to your advantage. But yeah, 100%. I mean, this last week alone, I went through 5 tanks of gas and 45 hours of scouting and while still working a full-time job. So
yeah,
it kind of comes down to passion will beat anything else at the end of the day.
No question about it. The passion, drive, and actual effort and windshield time. And I hope, you know, I feel really privileged to be able to come up and hunt with you. And of course, you will be invited to come down here and hunt with me when my fields heat up down here. And I'm really looking forward to it. Brett, stay safe. Have a great hunt tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll talk about it next week on Raised in Wisco, but I don't want to keep you. And I'm going to tell you what, I got my car loaded up. I'm going to drive up and see you guys and visit with you in the field tonight because it's stuff like that that keeps me young. Thanks a lot, Brett, for being on the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you much. You guys have a great night.
You too.
You too. Colt, I think that young man's got it right, don't you?
Exactly. He's got it right.
So we were talking before Brett called in about your company and the services you're going to provide that's going to make hunting better by using electronics and technology. Now, many hunters, I find, are kind of scared of technology. Many hunters who are serious hunters have old school attitudes. Danielle,
I feel like that's completely opposite. I feel that since we live on that 5x7 that you keep talking about.
Well, but I'm a different generation than you.
Yeah, but the newer hunters coming in, the average hunter is what you said, 29, like
yeah,
Brett
that's
is.
Younger. So like, the newer hunters are definitely younger.
So we're all about Onyx or Hunt Wild or Go Wild. Like I have like 5 different apps on my phone just for that.
Too.
And maybe now Romeo Bravo if we ever figure out what this is.
Right. Really, it's comes down to smartphones, right? This new technology of smartphones has raised the expectations across the board. So even your old school hunt clubs and these old school hunters and farmers and people that have been in this industry, there's so much more to gain with technology.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about any industry out there, whether it's restaurants, hotels, airlines, golf, there's so much technology that goes into how they do business and what makes it better for them and for their customers.
Yep.
And that's really what we're trying to introduce into the hunting industry. We've developed a product specifically for the hunting industry and hunt clubs and wing shooting lodges. Anybody in the outdoors, whether it's fishing, if you have an activity that you want to book through an outfitter, that's what we're really talking about here.
Yeah.
Is a product that makes that efficient for the customer and for the
business
providing the services.
I want to, my goal is to go timber hunting next year. Like, it has to happen. But I go on Facebook and I go on Google.
Flooded timber hunting. Flooded
timber hunting,
okay,
correct.
Well,
and I want to go on there, but I keep seeing great reviews for all these outfitters. Can I go onto your app and figure this out better or quicker way?
What my product's going to do is it's going to make it for those outfitters that are providing that service of a timber hunt.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make it really easy for you to book online and communicate with them.
That's
and
nice.
See exactly what you're doing, exactly what it costs. Give them full control of your visit.
And by the time you show up, this hunt is going to be completely tailored to you. What you like,
that'd be nice.
What you like to eat, what accommodations you find comfortable and the best, what type of birds you want to hunt, what area you're going to hunt in. This is all going to be set up ahead of time through this software, because the software is going to essentially know you with what you've submitted and set up that hunt custom tailored to you.
That is the perfect seller right there. Because that just sounds, yes, let's
you
go.
Got a it's job gonna be for me, Cole?
Yeah,
maybe
that
I should,
sounds tailored to me. Like,
hey, you can talk. I can probably find something in sales for you.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. But what I think is exciting to me about the technology in this area is, as a person who hunts the world, and mm-hmm. I do, I hunt the world. I'll be hunting in 5 different countries in the next year. And what's very often, there is a disconnect between an outfitter and the hunter, especially from other countries or other parts of the country. There's this disconnect, a feeling of the outfitter doesn't really know me, doesn't really know what I want out of the hunt. And I think a lot of those hunts, because of that, are run in kind of a generic way. And this definitely has the ability to change that, doesn't it?
100%. What we're intending to do is our product is good for the entire world, for the entire industry, whether it's North America, including Canada, South America, Africa hunts, New Zealand, Australia,
ooh,
Europe. We're offering a product that allows these outfitters or these lodges to be able to run their business, say like an airlines or a rental car facility runs their business, where all of their parts of their business are brought together on one screen in front of them. They can see all aspects of their business and bring it all together. And any employee within their system can go in there and look and see what's happening with that reservation. It gives you the ability to book that reservation online and set the meal plans, set
ooh,
all the plans prior to you coming up, and then relay that information to the business that's taking care of you so they can organize it and see it in an organized manner and provide the best service possible
to you.
I
have not gone through an outfitter ever, minus like salmon fishing and everything.
Sure.
But that sounds absolutely perfect.
Mike Keller is an outfitter.
Yeah, but It's a friend, so I don't really.
He's
I'd be like,
friend,
dude,
but he's an outfitter.
He is.
And wouldn't it be better for Mike Keller if he knew something about the client who's coming before they came?
It would be fantastic.
I mean, what a way to if I were a salmon guide on Lake Michigan, and I knew my folks like I don't know Ambrosia Chocolate from Milwaukee. Let's say they're coming up from Illinois, and they love Ambrosia Chocolate, and I know that, and I have some Ambrosia Chocolate in between them getting seasick. Out on the salmon boat, then that's something that I can offer them. I think what has lagged in the hunting industry for so long is a personal touch. Personal touch has gone into everything in the world except the hunting industry.
Yep, I completely agree with that because I need stuff personalized, and there's so many new allergies out there. There's so many new different trends out there that people would love to have.
When I was with Wern Valley and where this idea in my mind really got started.
Okay, save that. We got 20 seconds. We're out. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. Smooth and mellow tones of Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. Rest his soul. But Dolly Parton is still getting after it. I don't know how old she is, but you're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside my co-host, Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
On the eve of the Wisconsin waterfowl season.
Such a fantastic
early
night.
Goose season starts bright and early at the crack of dawn tomorrow morning. And as we just learned from Brett Backus, there are people sitting out in fields across the state right now, grilling out, shooting the bologna. I hope not drinking too much because they got to be safe with their shotguns in the morning. But tomorrow morning is a day. Now, I'm one of those people. I hate to admit this.
What?
I wish away summer. I can't. I
would not be mad at that. I hate hot weather.
Like the heat and everything. I'm too
disgusting.
Fat for the heat, and I cannot handle long hot summers because all I think is I literally start out saying 90 days till goose opener, and I say 70 days, 50, 45 days, 10 days, and here we are right now, so close that I can smell it, and nothing gets me more excited. And it reminds me. So we had the Waterfowl Hunters Expo brought to you by the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association this last week.
It was wonderful.
It was amazing. The Fowl Life had a huge booth there. I cooked pot pies for over 100 people. It was the cooking segment went great. The calling segment. I listened to your segment, Women in the Outdoors.
Yep.
That was very interesting. You guys had a fascinating panel.
We did. It was four other women that I've never met before. And we come from all different aspects of life. So it was wonderful hearing everyone's side of the story, and the crowd was completely participating. And I had four phone numbers from other ladies that say, I don't know anybody else. Can I go hunting with you? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we got four other new hunters that we're bringing out into the field. And that's exactly what it was for, was to bring the new hunters out.
And I say it all the time, and I'll say it again, the fastest growing group of new hunters is women. Mm-hmm. And it's because people like you, Danielle, are actually out there and you're proliferating the sport and you're giving the positive aspects of what it takes.
It is absolutely wonderful, and I love it, and I cannot wait for tomorrow. Sorry.
Beginning,
so excited.
And beginning hunting is tough. I mean, I'll be honest, it's an intimidating thing. You know, Colt Christofferson is our guest today. He's talking about some new software that's going to make it easier for hunters and it's going to be more tailored to them. But don't you agree that getting into hunting is intimidating? It's one of the toughest things because you need the equipment, you need the land, you need the spots, and you need somebody to show you because you're not just, it's not like getting into art where you buy an easel and some paintbrushes. You're going out there with a firearm that is a potentially deadly instrument that you're using, so that can be very intimidating.
Ending a life. That was my scariest part, was you ending a life.
You are ending, and I think, and when people say, oh yeah, that's why I hate hunting, I would never eat something that I killed. Well, they'll go to the grocery store and buy it, because they didn't have to see how it was killed. And I think there's a personal responsibility that takes place when you harvest your own game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something. Every animal I love animals.
Yes. Oh, me too.
And I sit and I watch them. Right now at our house, I have to tell you, Anastasia, you're going to get a kick out of this. We have two sandhill cranes who have adopted a goose.
What?
This little gosling was walking around by itself, and the sandhill cranes adopted it.
Aww.
And literally, now here's the craziest part of this.
We should call him Tarzan.
Now that, I don't think he's Tarzan. Okay, I get it. But the fascinating part of this is geese and sandhill cranes eat different things, and they live a different way. A goose needs more water to digest the grain that it eats than sandhills. So they hang out together on the edge of our little water hole in the backyard. Aww. Every single day. I see these two sandhill cranes, and when they take off, you know how sandhill cranes...
Velociraptors.
When they take off, right. And geese honk when they take off. So it's so funny. You're like, brr, 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 and they're taking off together every day, every
That's
day.
Fantastic.
So now the goose is like, you know, a full-grown 8-month-old goose. It's flying and everything else. And they fly by the house, and there'll be the sandhill cranes and the goose right in between them.
Aww.
In the middle. It's the coolest thing ever.
Picture it doesn't happen.
It's the coolest thing ever, and I really think that that goose is very safe because we're not allowed to hunt sandhill cranes.
Yes.
And that goose is always flying in the middle of those two sandhill cranes. So
smart.
I don't think that
very
goose
smart
is going to get in any trouble. But
he's like a presidential plane with the two fighter jets on the other side. No one's
taking
exactly.
Out. Yeah, that's right. Or it's kind of like a dartboard dart and then two lawn darts on the outside of it. But it's... So it is, it's just one of the coolest things, and we've been watching them all year. But you wouldn't think, I mean, they live in different habitats, they eat differently, but somehow they have made this work, and it is the ultimate kind of definition of a modern family, I guess. It's fascinating.
I love it.
It's really cool. Colt, take me, we're going to come back to Colt and the technology that he's got with Romeo Bravo Company, just because I really think this is going to kind of revolutionize hunting.
Yes.
And I always tell people, one of the most important things in my life is sharing joy with people. And destination hunting has become my one of my biggest joys in life, whether that's to fly somewhere to hunt Egyptian geese in South Africa, whether that's to hunt... geese and ducks in Canada, North Dakota, or whether that's to hunt big game in some country like Croatia. I think this is going to revolutionize things and even make it more reasonable for the hunters and the outfitters.
Absolutely. What we're doing is we're offering a technology to anybody that's in the industry, whether it's hunting, fishing, shooting sports. If you have a property and you are booking an activity could be hunting, fishing, shooting, any of those activities. And our software is completely customizable. So it's fit to a specific business. We can tailor the software in a way that it makes your business run so much more efficiently, so much more profitable, and creates a greater client experience.
Nice. Well, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming in. And I have known each other for a long time. And the cool thing about Colt is like his heart and soul is in hunting.
You can tell.
Yes. And
exactly
he was born and raised in it. And he's one of those guys out there working his tail end off to make sure that his life and his wife and family gets to eat because he's working in the industry. And it's not an easy industry to make a living in. As we tailor out of the show, we got 1 minute left, and I have to announce this to you guys. I'm so excited.
What?
I was sitting at home the other day saying to myself, what am I going to do to hunt in December, January of Wisconsin? And then I found out I drew a bobcat tag.
You did not.
Yes, I did. Senator Rob Staffschult, I was on the phone with him on the way here. I already asked, begged, and pleaded with him, would he take me up north hunting?
Man.
I've got a Northern Zone bobcat tag.
That's awesome.
Season 2. I did draw one. It took me 10 years to get my first one. We never got a bobcat, but only 4 years later, I drew another one. So it was by some miracle or circumstance. Get out there. Be safe tomorrow. Enjoy the goose season. And listen to us next week on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We'll see you then.